Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your unvaccinated co-host, Jimmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody? Jeez.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shit, Salty. So I just got back from my kickboxing class. I'm having a margarita right now.
There you go.
What's going on over there in Chili Chill, PA?
Hello, my fellow non-binary people.
Wait, what?
My fellow oath keepers. Bing bong, the COVID bitch is dead. Which old bitch? The COVID bitch. I'm about to start singing the Lollipop Guild here, guys. It is dead. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, but apparently it's dying. And we just wish to welcome you all to the Salty Show Munchkin Land.
I'm going to start doing
the dance.
We represent
the Lollipop Guild.
All right. So Biden holds a press conference and crickets, man. Oh, my God. Yeah, things got very awkward. The geriatric in chief, Joe Biden. Folks, these jokes are going to write themselves today, man. I'm telling you, there is so much content here. But we're going to cover all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Well, well, well. Oh, my God. It's cold. Shit. I sent you guys a screenshot.
So, how's it in PA?
Oh, my God. Negative. I think this is the coldest it's ever been. And of course, you know, I wait. I don't check my mail regularly. You know, everything's done, you know, electronically now on the web. And I'm like, I should go check the mail. And yeah, I got a ton of mail. But it was freezing this morning. Oh, my God. That cold will hit you so quick, you know, because you think, they're fine here.
Well, just remember, Saul, there's always a place for you back in Arizona. Just come on back. We'll welcome you with open arms.
Oh, well, thank you, guys.
and a bottle of sunscreen.
Can't come back.
All right. So let's get down to it. But before we do, obviously, we have the, what segment is this?
I have something today, too.
Oh, you do? All right. Maybe we should do Heidi's first, then. Heidi, you got something?
Oh, what? She doesn't have a theme song. You can't be doing that to me.
No. I'm gonna replay. Okay, go ahead, Heidi. What's going on?
Okay. All right. Here we go. So, I'm doing a little bit of reading and browsing, and I have a
Carpe diem.
Well, let me just read it. No.
Fucking stuttering John over here.
It's supposed to go that way. It was supposed to go that way.
Lord,
gosh. Okay. As the years pass, we become more acutely aware of what a gift God gives us in each and every day. We strive to be intentional about how we spend the time we've been given. After all, we want to live life to the fullest. We want to carpe the diem with all our heart. But how are we supposed to seize the day when we can't even remember why we entered a room? What did we come to seize? We open the fridge and look at the contents like they belong to someone else. Were we going to make eggs for breakfast? Maybe we were just grabbing a bottle of water. Or perhaps we're still looking for our reading glasses and figure the fridge is a good place to start any search. Yes, it's that time of life when the carpe diem has transformed into carpe... Sure, we can boost our caffeine intake, write ourselves a note as soon as we think of something we're going to do, and hold on to it until we've actually accomplished the task. Or simply get used to wandering around with a dazed look in our eyes. On the positive side, our aimless meandering counts towards our daily goal of 10,000 steps. But at its heart, carpe diem means making the most of what we have, where we are right now. And right now, we're in a season where our brains go a bit foggy sometimes. So let's learn to lighten up a bit by laughing at ourselves, doing our level-headed best, and celebrating what we do remember. Let's live our lives in line with Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's not only carpe diem seize the day, but carpe duo, seize God. Throughout each day, he's never absent, even when we're absent-minded. So I kind of thought, like, with the COVID stuff going on and with all the crazy in the world and everything else, I was like, well, let's talk about why we need a carpe diem a little bit more often. And some of the crazy. So it just kind of fit in all of it.
I like it. Seize the day.
Very nice. I was very, very eloquent.
He was booting his laptop. I saw him.
Yeah, he wasn't even paying attention.
I heard something about carpe diem.
He's trying to carpe diem.
Again, yeah.
Carpe diem these nuts.
He's too worried about his 10,000 steps that he's going to get later on.
I broke my goddamn fucking computer because I was being a jackass.
Oh, millennials.
Millennials. Hey, this is not this episode. It's the next episode.
By the way, guys, I know.
Just FYI, I know we had said we were going to have a second version or a second part to the Battle of the Generations, but we're going to have to hold off until some of our guests can show up because we need a little balance here because we have too many Gen Xers here, and Tim needs some millennials to balance some things
backup
out.
Backup support.
Yeah. So we're going to hold off on that. And we'll let you know when that's going to happen. All right, Jeremy, let me play your introduction. The J-Files. Oh, no. We got him dancing.
what
is happening?
All right, guys. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I got some stories for you today.
Okay.
Alcohol made from radioactive Chernobyl apples seized by the Ukrainian government.
Wait,
why did they need to seize them? I don't understand.
Let me tell my story. The Chernobyl Spirit Company, makers of Atomic, which is the alcohol, says the Ukrainian Secret Service took 1,500 bottles in violation of the law. In 2019, a group of scientists and distillers decided to create a bold new type of booze, Atomic. It is an artesian alcoholic spirit made from ingredients grown in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant's still radioactive exclusion zone.
What?
Yeah. So the first batch of Atomic is finally completed, and all 1,500 bottles of it have been seized by the Ukrainian Secret Service for concerns over possible forged Ukrainian excise stamps, right? So, of course, it's all money, right? They want their money. The government wants their money. Yeah. And they do that here in America, too. They tax the hell out of alcohol. But anyways.
Prohibition, baby.
If Atomic does make its way to the shelves, it will be the first consumer product produced from the Chernobyl region since the infamous 1986 meltdown. Mm-hmm. Atomic is made from apples grown in a district which sits on the edge of the exclusion zone and was heavily polluted by fallout from the meltdown. This region still has a population of nearly 10,000 people and must abide by stringent agricultural restrictions, right? So there's people still living there. They're under very strict rules about what they can do with their agriculture.
Right.
With Atomic, the Chernobyl Spirits Company hopes to prove that some products made near the exclusion zone can be safe for consumption. Several years ago, the Atomic team tested rye crops from the exclusion zone for radiation and found that the grains were indeed contaminated. However, all traces of the radiation was removed during the distillation process, making Atomic not more dangerous than any other commercially available spirit. Okay. So basically, the ingredients that they use are radioactive, but I guess when they distill the alcohol out of it, the radioactive substances stay behind in the stuff that they throw away. So that works out pretty good. Since then, the founders have changed the recipe from the rye-based booze to an apple-based one. But the distillation process still renders the final product completely radiation free.
Okay.
And they're saying if Atomic makes it to the liquor stores, 75% of the company's profit will be used to help bring jobs and invest to the Chernobyl affected areas of the Ukraine to further support the community. So that's
let me ask
cool.
you this. You know, would you guys try it?
Yeah.
What is it? Apple cider? What? So I'm assuming.
Says it's no more radioactive than any other vodka.
Right.
How radioactive is vodka?
I don't know. I was just looking it up while he was reading the article, and that's what I'm seeing.
So basically, if it was, they originally started with rye. So if it was rye, it would technically be a whiskey because it was made from a grain. And since they're doing it from apples, technically it's a brandy now. So I don't know if I'd call it a vodka.
That's what they're calling it on.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Yeah. BBC.
So I don't know. I'd give it a try. I mean, like I said, they tested it.
I think it
makes sense, right? The radioactive particles are actually physical particles of uranium, right? Or whatever the radioactive material that it spewed out.
Right.
So when you distill things, you do separate that stuff out. And so it would make sense that it is no longer radioactive. Yeah. So I would try it.
I mean, just watching somebody we know near and dear do distilling, I see no reason why. It's you're drinking it,
I'd be like, what is it called? What is the liquor called?
Brandy? It's called Atomic.
With a K.
I'd be like, I'll do a glass of Atomic and Boron, please. That's what I would do.
you ever see the movie Euro Trip?
A long time ago.
Eastern Europe. Yeah, and they drink like the absinthe, and they're like, we don't feel anything. And all of a sudden, they see like the little
start hallucinating.
Absinthe,
I think, would be fun to try. And for the longest time, they claimed it was illegal in America. And I don't think it ever was really ever illegal. They just had some concerns about certain types of absinthe.
Okay.
So I think you can actually get it. I think they have absinthe bars in America where you can go. And there's like this whole process where they like drip it over top of a sugar cube. What? It's this whole process. So I don't know. One of these days, maybe we need to try it.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Next time Saul's out, we'll have to find a place and give it a try.
Yeah.
All right. Next story. All right. So check this out, guys. Injured pilot pulled from crashed plane seconds before it's hit by a train.
That was some crazy shit in LA, bro. Okay. Did you saw?
Pull up the video. What I put the video hell? on the leak.
A plane it's a that's Twitter video. Hit by pull a train. It up. Jesus.
Hold on. A bloody pilot who survived an emergency crash landing was pulled from his plane by police just seconds before a train barreled into the aircraft in California on Sunday.
Craziest video I've ever seen.
The dramatic scene at a Metrolink rail crossing in Los Angeles was caught on video by police body cams. Go ahead and play it. Play the video here.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's no audio?
So basically the video shows there's like four or five cops trying to pull this guy out of this crashed airplane, right? He's laying right on top of the railroad tracks. They get the guy out.
Go. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Holy shit.
I was like, so
this guy is either a cat man because nine lives. What the hell? Like possibly. He survived the crash
possibly.
And then he survives the, okay, but let me ask you this, Jeremy, because I know you had a plane.
God bless those policemen,
this is
man.
A single propeller. It looked like it was, right? It's
yeah, it's a Cessna, probably like a 172 or 152.
Mm-hmm. Because I know you have, how heavy is that? Is it impossible to move, push it out of the way? Wouldn't that be quicker?
Well, if it was on its wheels, you could push. I mean, you helped me push my plane.
Yeah.
If it was on its wheels, it would have been fine. But since it had crashed, it was laying on the propeller and parts of it were kind of everywhere. So it probably would have been a little too heavy for them to push off the tracks, at least by hand. If they hit it with a car, they probably could have. But yeah, I'm not sure why they made that decision. Let me finish the article here. Police said the plane lost power, which caused it to crash at the railroad crossing. The pilot, who has not been publicly identified, was taken to the Regional Trauma Center, Los Angeles County Public Works, described the pilot's injuries as minor, and the Metrolink service will resume in the area by that evening.
Here's one question. Doesn't the police have communication with the train operator? Like, how can they not?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think they do.
This could have been a bang, bang. You know what I mean? It crashed. They saw it and it was that quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. They might have tried, but wow, that is, talk about the adrenaline.
So I think it normally, whenever there's like, when you get into a car crash or whatever, I don't think the cops really try to move you until the paramedics get there. Right. So he may have crashed. The cops may have been like, hey, are you all right? You all right? We're, you know, the paramedics are on the way, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, there's a train coming. Yeah. Let's get this guy out of here. Yeah. That's what I'm assuming. I don't have those details, but I would think that, because normally, like if you get in a car accident, they don't want you moving your neck in case you broke your neck or something.
Yeah. They're dragging him. So he,
so that guy, so there was another video of that exact moment, but somebody was filming it. Like they saw the guy getting pulled. They filmed it from a different angle. Right here, this angle. And this guy almost dies from the fucking debris getting hit. Look.
Oh, whoa. Shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This guy almost got his head fucking cut off by the fucking thing.
That is scary.
But
wow.
But you know what this also goes to show? People are really dumb. instead of just getting out of Dodge, no, I got to film it for the gram,
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, like, what do you think was going to happen? Get out of Dodge.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I would totally want to be sitting and watching and seeing it.
From across the street where hindsight I get
2020.
In my vehicle or whatever. But yeah, I think. Holy shit. Look at that. Wow.
That's a great
dude,
story.
I saw that shit. I thought I sent that to you guys.
Yeah, but let's.
No.
But,
at 6 o'clock in
but
the morning.
To be the asshole here, but let's defund the police, right? Because this was in California where they're trying to like do like. Come on. You didn't see, look at all those police officers risking, like there was no thought about anything other than getting that human being out of that airplane. That's
defund the police.
Well, okay, hold on. If you would have asked Democrats, they would have said, according to the Democrats, they would not have moved him out of there unless he was vaccinated. So let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
But again, to your point.
Yeah. Did he show his vaccination card?
Wait, but here's the vaccine card. Point of back the blue bullshit. That fine line is getting real thin because, the shit going on in New York City right now.
Yeah.
Between the lawlessness and the chaos and cops getting killed and all the crime that's running rampant. These motherfuckers are spending more time going to fucking Museum of Natural History.
Yeah. Arresting a 9-year-old because she won't show her fucking vaccination.
And the parents, and then they called CPS on the parent for having the kid there and endangering her because she's not vaccinated. So this is the state of New York. You have a side of good cops.
Well, we're going to get there, Tim.
Let's stay finish on the J files here.
I'm heated, bro.
We'll get there.
All right. Next story. Guys, live cannonballs cannot be recycled.
What?
Please tell me this video.
What?
Guys, live cannonballs cannot be recycled. All right. Michigan officials plead. Please don't recycle cannonballs.
What?
A recycling center in Michigan was recently evacuated after someone tried to recycle a Civil War cannonball.
It's a fucking metal ball.
Officials with the police and fire department in Grand Rapids, Michigan, received a call that a cannonball dating to the Civil War had been discovered in the processing line at the Kent County Recycling Center. After inspecting the cannonball, authorities determined that it was live ordnance filled with gunpowder and capped with a detonator.
What the
hell? The premises was promptly evacuated. Police report described the object as measuring 6 inches in diameter and weighing about 6 pounds. Michigan State Bomb Squad responded and it was safely removed from the property. There were no injuries and work resumed at the recycling center the next day.
We live in a fucking weird time.
Michigan Public Works states, even beyond cannonballs, items that pose a hazard to workers should not be recycled, such as ammunition, propane tanks, and syringes. I don't know why you have to tell people not to recycle syringes.
But hold on. So somebody put that in the recycling bin, of course. But so my question is, do you think it was intentional? Do you think they were trying to do?
Well, I think, from what I'm reading, I think someone took it to the recycling center. I don't think it was part of a pickup.
Oh,
here, let me see. Let me finish here. The Michigan officials were wise to be cautious about handling this discarded cannonball. Though the Civil War ended more than 150 years ago, explosive weapons from that area are still dangerous. In 2008, a Civil War hobbyist in Virginia named Sam White died while restoring a 75-pound cannonball in his driveway. Don't ask me why. The sphere exploded, killing White and blasting shrapnel into the porch of his neighbor's house about a quarter of a mile away.
So I guess I misunderstood what I thought cannonballs were just big metal like balls.
Older ones might be, but I think.
So yes. Over time, they started filling it with gunpowder and explosives so that it would.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Shooting out.
More recently, in 2016, Hurricane Matthew uncovered a pile of 16 Civil War cannonballs on the beach in South Carolina. Authorities determined that may contain old and very unstable gunpowder. And the weapons were destroyed with the help of the U.S. Air Force explosive team.
Wow.
I just hear Leroy Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins!
You know, which is interesting about that is that there's still artillery. There's still, weapons from that era.
Oh, yeah.
Which goes to show you.
Landmines all over Europe. They still have people that blow up from landmines.
My point is, which goes to show you how futile it is, the idea that you can disarm America. You see what I'm saying? We have stuff from 200 years ago, folks.
It still works.
Yeah.
Gunpowder, whether it comes out of a gun, a cannon, or my ass, it's still the same. Wow. It's going to kill you.
All right.
You're done. No, you're good.
You're out.
Go outside for a little bit. You're finished.
Last story. And this kind of borders on, I don't know. All right. So I labeled this one.
Just read it.
Pie, anyone?
Ooh, hair pie?
Pie? Would you like some pie?
Hair pie. 3.14.
Is that the deal? So Heidi's on here, right? Researchers in Switzerland have set to break the record for the most precise value of the mathematical constant pi.
Oh, okay.
After using a supercomputer to calculate the famous number to its first 62.8 trillion decimal spaces.
Wow.
I'm going to say that again. 62.8 trillion decimal spaces.
You know what goes through my mind?
Switzerland has zero problems and they're spending their time.
Trying to break pie.
First world problems right
because
there.
Because at the end of the day, right. I can't tell you the last time I needed pie.
Well, right.
Let me continue.
Hold on.
I need pie, but not that kind of pie.
To Tim's point, let me continue. Pi is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. The constant is what is known as an irrational number, meaning that it cannot be expressed in a common fraction
and like it has an
infinite set of decimal places, right? So basically it goes on forever. It never
they go on forever. They don't shut the fuck up.
Shh. Jesus.
He forgets I carry.
The record attempt has not been officially confirmed by Guinness World Records. Knowing more digits of pi isn't particularly important for mathematics. Are you listening? Shut up.
Yes.
Go ahead. Knowing more digits of pi isn't particularly mathematically important to Tim's point, but calculating the value of pi to high precision has long been used as a benchmark to test the processing power of computers.
Oh, okay.
So it's less about knowing what pi is. It's more, they use it more as a test for computers to see how fast they are.
Yeah.
In 2019, a Google Cloud computing system calculated the constant's value to be more than 31 trillion decimal places. Jeez. A year later, Timothy Mulliken of Huntsville, Alabama, calculated 50 trillion decimal places using his own personal computer, which is the current Guinness World Record.
Wow.
The research team not only broke the Millen's record, Millikan's record, but also did it in roughly a third of the time, taking just 108 days and 9 hours.
Okay, that's one of my next questions. How long does it take? Wow.
Yeah, compared to McMillan's 303 days, even though they used the same algorithm for the calculations. Yeah, so basically, it took 303 days for Tim to get 50 trillion decimal places, and it took these guys 108 days, 9 hours to get to 62.8 trillion.
Right, but think about it. Tim, not me.
Huntsville Tim.
From at. Bing bong. He did it on a personal computer.
Yes. Not a supercomputer.
With not a lot of money. These guys cracked it in 108 days, probably using some fucking supercomputer cloud-based, you know,
yeah,
$100,000 fucking VM up there to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that just goes to show, you know, processing power, regardless, you know, the Guinness Book of World, like they went out of their way to fucking prove a Joe Schmo, like you're an asshole. Like they went out of their way.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason to go out of your way for this. Like, hey, what, 50 trillion? Okay, cool. With the right power, I can go more.
Well, right. I mean, and like I said,
it sounds like scientists don't
give a shit about. Yeah, they don't care about pi, right? They've gotten pi down to the point where
they haven't gotten pi at all. Let's be real.
So many errors. But they're using it to test the speed of computers these days. So
if you're spending your time doing that, you ain't got no pi.
They're gonna use it to get your money out of the metaverse.
Yeah, there you go.
You're gonna get a lot of pie in the metaverse. That's right.
So we'll put links to these articles in the description if anybody wants to read more about.
I don't think anybody gives a shit about
thanks
pie.
Thanks for the that J file there.
I care about pie. I appreciate you. Story some good about ones pie. Today,
you're man. Welcome, Tim.
You had some really good ones today. That airplane one, man, I'm still like freaking shocked about that guy.
Yeah.
Dude, every time I get in the plane, I used to get in the plane with them. I always thought about that. Like, what if we crash? Like, I'm dead.
Oh, wow.
Put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah, there's a stick in the way.
A big it's not Leroy.
Oh, dude, oh my God.
It's not Leroy.
It ain't big at all. Wait, what?
All right. Let's get down to the show. If you guys
are you having a margarita right now?
I'm gonna have myself.
Did everybody go to kickboxing class today and have a margarita? By the way, because that is exactly how the press secretary Raggedy Ann said that we should deal with our problems this weekend on voting rights not being passed and deal with it again on Monday. Go have a margarita.
We're gonna get to that. So she was challenged. So let's set it up. Biden is obviously in a mental decline, right? And it's so rapid and so obvious that even, you know, his usual fans, they're starting to question whether or not he's fit to be president. I mean, that's the honest truth. And if you saw, you know, what we witnessed this week, you know,
the crickets.
Exactly. So, you know, what's going on? What he had been, 80 days without having a press conference. And so he was being pressured to do it. So, you know, he has dismal polling numbers. He has dwindling support from, you know, his fan base, inflation at a 40-year high. The car industry, the market is drying up. I was reading 6,000 to 12,000 over sticker price on used cars, guys. This is fucking insane. Yeah. And so what's driving this? You know, let me set it up, Tim. So then, you know, what's driving this? The supply chain issue, obviously, from that we've been having, a lot of this has been compounded by the whole COVID bullshit. You know, the shortage on semiconductors is causing this. Okay. So then on top of that, the real estate market also is inflated, hundreds of thousands over the asking price, dude. This is insane. There's a mass exodus happening today in the job market, right? A lot of people, especially, you know, after all these COVID mandates and all this, the economy right now is being set up, like Tim says all the time, to correct itself. All right. We have empty shelves in supermarkets. The border is out of control, literally being run by the cartels, folks. I don't know if we're going to cover that on this episode. There's a lot. So what does Biden do? What does he do? He decides to hold a press conference to put people's doubts at ease, right? Because everybody's questioning his capabilities, right? And this reminds me of that quote, and we've said it many times. Better to remain silent and be thought of as a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. That was Biden this weekend. I don't know who said that quote, either Lincoln or Mark Twain. I don't know who said it. But the guys, at one point in this press conference that Biden has, he asks this question. And again, look, I mean, oh my God, let me just say what he said. So he says, can you think of any other president that has done as much in 1 year? referring to himself, thinking that he's accomplished a lot. And everybody's looking around like, is this guy delusional? Now, his press conference was such a clusterfuck, right? That, as Tim says, you know, he had everybody in his cabinet. You had Jen Psaki out there trying to ease people. And to Tim's point, he was like, well, you know, go have a margarita, go take a kickboxing class to get all that frustration and anger out of you. The next morning, all of them, they go to the press, you know, to all the morning shows to try to clean up the mess that Biden left, you know, spill on aisle, whatever, you know, exactly. You know, he went shit in his pants.
Up on aisle 7.
Exactly. In fact, right now, guys, right now, this is how crazy it is. And I know a lot of times we might hype things up more or might exaggerate things more, but this is reality. This is happening today. 100,000 Russian troops are at the border of Ukraine preparing for what Biden calls a minor incursion. and we're going to get into that. I'm going to show you some of this. And it was basically, he said the U.S. response to Russia will be determined by what Russia does, right? It will be different. It was if it was a minor incursion.
They've already done it,
bro. Okay, so and to the point where the Ukrainian, I think the what is it called? The ambassador was like, "What are you talking about? What, a minor death of life? A minor invasion? This is not nothing is minor about this." And so, and also China is chomping at the bit, waiting for Russia to do what they're going to do so that they themselves can go and invade Taiwan. We know that this is happening. So Biden goes to the press. He gives a press conference and he portrays himself as a weak ass president. There's no other words. There's no other way to describe it. Right. And the left, all of a sudden after, because again, he was being guys, the people that normally support this guy are calling into question his capacity to be president. And all of them right now are defending him. You know, his cabinet is defending him and literally being hypocrites because they're asking for civility. We need civility. We can't come out and criticize the president, folks. This is the bullshit that we're supposed to buy, that, you know, that we can't criticize a president who shows that he's not capable to serve. Did we forget about all the four years that happened? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, aren't these the same people that did nothing but criticize Trump the day before he even stepped into office?
Yes.
Exactly. Fuck you. Yeah, exactly. Go fuck yourself.
So the day of this press conference, he sends Tony Blumkin over to Ukraine to go talk to them, right? And basically, they knew. Everybody has they know what they're going to negotiate on, you know, in private with these people, right? So Blinken was going over there to, quote unquote, try to solve the issue diplomatically and everything. But of course, publicly, they have to say Russia can't do anything, right? They publicly have to say that. They can't say, well, but then Dum Dum goes out there and says, well, if they do a little bit, OK, we expect that. You know, like we're giving them the green light. We go into certain areas and we do minor incursions or invasions, whatever. We do minor, and that's why nobody gets involved. We don't go take over a full country. Right?
So, I mean, Joe Biden is responsible for the United States. I thought we had this thing called NATO, and shouldn't NATO be making statements like this, not fucking idiot Biden?
Well, who pays,
right?
Again, majority. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah, NATO. No, number one, America should not be responsible for monitoring the borders of Taiwan and the Ukraine, right?
True.
And number two, if this is a problem for the entire world, let the entire world stand up and take a stance on that, not just a fucking useless Joe Biden.
Right.
But that's why. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right. Not.
But this problem with America, right? We've gone around the world and inserted our nose in everybody else's business to where we have military bases. And that's what makes us the quote unquote superpower. But quietly, China is doing the same exact thing in South America that nobody wants to talk about. We can get to that in another time. But if you look, we have to take care of Taiwan now because our entire world revolves around semiconductors. If Taiwan goes, China now controls semiconductors everywhere. You can't just turn around and say, well, we're going to start manufacturing shit in America because we don't have the resources. Well, we don't have the manufacturing plants to scale up. They're starting to build them now as quote unquote saying, oh, yeah, to fight against the supply of, you know, semiconductors and compete against China. We're going to start building it here. Like Chuck Schumer, they just said they're going to do something in upstate New York, which is total bullshit.
I think Ohio is also
Intel's going to Ohio and New York, upstate New York.
Well, Intel has two huge fabs down here in Chandler.
But they're starting to scale up. But if they invaded Taiwan tomorrow or this year, we're still screwed for years. Like we can't manufacture this stuff. We don't even have the resources.
Yeah. Well, you know what, America? China owns all the resources. It's all on you, fuckheads. You're the ones that decided to outsource it all to a communist third world country.
And now we're starting to see the effects of globalism, but people are still worried about fucking COVID. So everybody, they need the COVID shit to last.
That was an export from China too.
Right. But they need COVID to last while this is going on because people don't understand this right now. People have no idea how bad their life is being affected by all this geopolitical nonsense going on. Yeah. Right. They don't know. And so when they hear things, but this is big.
I think they're starting to realize it. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, obviously we have friends who, you know, that, you know, maybe 2-3 years ago would not have been political and are political now. And it's because they're being pushed into that. Now, back to the point that I wanted to make, because I have a video for this, to show the hypocrisy from the left, right? Because again, they criticized President Trump for 4 years, even called into question his mental capacity, right? And now, do you guys remember that the whole F fuck Joe Biden turned into let's go Brandon, right? A PG 13 version of fuck Joe Biden, if that. And the left doesn't like that at all. They don't like that we're criticizing Joe Biden. And so let me play this video, which is a compilation and the contrast, the hypocrisy of the left, right? That for 4 years, they use foul language, folks, and now they're calling for civility. Okay. Now, and the reason I'm
Kathy
playing this.
Griffin had a severed head of Trump.
Yeah.
She had a severed, bloodied head of Trump.
Let me play this.
And they cheered her.
And again, I'm laying the groundwork here for what we're expected to believe about this guy. Okay. That he's fit to serve. But we can't even call into question that bullshit because they did it for 4 years, guys. So let me play this video.
And for the uninitiated, this stems from a crowd at a NASCAR race yelling F Joe Biden, but it was during the speech of the winner, Brandon Brown, and a commentator thought that the crowd was saying, let's go Brandon.
Weird. Eric Erickson said, confession, I find it in poor taste to tell the President of the United States, let's go Brandon, when the man just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. Good manners should still matter.
Saying F you to a sitting president on a call in front of your four kids. Don't look past this. Don't look at this as a story about giving airtime to a MAGA guy.
I just think this is one of those things when you do it, you're not owning the libs, you're owning yourself because you're showing, you're revealing your character.
Uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Right there in the Constitution.
Do you know something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless?
When they go low, we kill.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
Civility,
they're
folks.
Still going to have to go and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John?
Anyways, this video goes on for another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And basically, again, showing the hypocrisy. And this was nonstop. You guys remember this. I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything new. But I like the video because, again, it shows their hypocrisy. All of a sudden, they're offended by, let's go Brandon, really? But got it here.
So remember when I was telling you when I went to New York a couple months ago and I went to we went down to the beach to walk the boardwalk, me, my cousin, my cousins and my uncle. We were driving around Long Beach to try to find a parking spot. And right in the middle of Long Beach, they had the beach houses right there. And boom, right on the second floor, draped over. The whole thing, fuck Joe Biden flags, everything. My uncle's like, I can't believe people do that. That's wrong. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. But I said for 5 years, it was okay to say fuck Donald Trump. And he goes, no, I don't believe that's right either. But I'm like, what about, but that's freedom of speech. He's like, yeah, but it's not right. No, bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you take away the fact that to say fuck Donald Trump,
good for the goose,
fuck Joe Biden, gator. Fuck Nancy Pelosi, fuck you, fuck me, fuck him. I mean, What kind of society we have? We're allowed to say that. That is freedom of speech. What they were saying, where's John Wilkes Booth and all that? If any conservative said that today, the goddamn FBI, DOJ, CIA, your sister's ass would be right at my house right now. If we said this right now, that somebody needs to go, boom, you can't say that about Joe Biden because it's only one-way justice. It mm-hmm. only works one way.
Yeah.
Because when they do it, we're fighting for democracy. We do something, we're a threat to democracy.
Right.
Threat to democracy.
Yeah, okay. So that's how that. Okay. I have to admit, guys,
we've been
on this podcast for what, two, three years now.
Yeah,
and I've been really confused about all that. And so what Tim just said just clarified everything for me. It's okay for one side to say that about us, but we're not allowed to say it about. So that
they don't like
you.
It.
Thank you for clarifying.
Dude, they all cry. Like, even like when you start calling them, because people on the right, it's a new right. It's not the fucking James P. Keaton, whatever you always refer to that fucking cuck. You know what I mean? It's
what is his name? Hold on. What is his name? Michael.
Yeah, whatever. That fucking, I don't even know who it is. I don't give a shit. But you have fighters now, because you have like our generations now going, oh, we're on Twitter. Oh, cool. You want to talk shit? Okay, groomer. You're a fucking pedo. You're a fucking communist.
Yeah.
You're a Nazi. And they don't like it because it's only one way. So when you call them groomers and you start challenging their gender identity and their social fucking craziness, they melt down, bro. They can't. Yeah. They're so used to screaming in everybody's face and clawing like little bitches. But the minute you challenge them and you stump them or you challenge them back, they fucking crumble because they're all fucking weak. They're fucking weak. They can't have an answer. And, you know, I don't want to get too far off topic, but perfect example was, recently, Matt Walsh went on Dr. Phil, right? And Dr. Phil, I don't know if you saw the video, it was about gender ideology and all this. Dr. Phil had two transgenders on there and then Matt Walsh. And Matt Walsh asked them simple questions because they're running, right? And Matt Walsh goes, we're like, what do you see as a woman? He's like, somebody that has, that's born a female that has reproductive organs. And they start going, he's like, what is your definition of a woman? Oh, we can't define that because it's everybody's. Dude,
yeah,
he caught them. These fuckers they released a statement after that video came out and said, oh my God, I felt so attacked. I'm so depressed now. And I'm like, and we're laughing about it on Twitter because people like Matt Walsh, whether you like him or not, he's challenging them. You never saw this before. Yeah. When they said Republicans are racist, Lindsey Graham and all them, quiet. They wouldn't fight back. Now you say to, you know, the new GOP, your race, fuck you. Where? You guys are the party of the fucking KKK. You're the party of that filibuster, the Civil Rights Act in 1964 for fucking 60 days or whatever it was. You guys abolished this. You guys were the party of redlining. You throw the facts in their face and they don't know what to do. And people awaken the fuck up. That's why they want the censoring of conservatives. This new conservative, they fight.
Yeah, and to your point, look, for a long time, like you said, you know, we try to be civil, and when I say we, you know, Republicans.
Alex
B. we try to play this, let's be civil approach and let's have discourse, you know, and in that arena, conservatives would win every single goddamn time, but to your point, Tim. The liberals, they're convinced by emotion. It is who has the most emotions, who has the most, you know, who is going to be the hurt the most. That's the one we have to protect. Fuck out of here. Who's right is the question. And to that interview that Matt Walsh was in, and the reason he brought up the question, what is the definition of a woman, is because they challenged him and they said, well, you know, if your child, you know, said to you that, you know, that he thinks he's a girl. And he's like, you know what? The question I ask him is, what is a girl? What do you think a girl is? Oh, well, somebody who does. Oh, okay. So you want to go do things that girls do. That doesn't mean you think you're a girl. And so that's what he was shedding light on, was like, you have to ask the question. It's a child. They don't understand. But right. We got, let me reel it back in to Biden. Okay. Because again, his whole press conference was such a failure. And I haven't shown you one second about it. So Biden, when he's, you know, and this wasn't an anomaly. This hasn't been an anomaly. Every single time this guy talks, is asked questions, is pressured. We've played those clips for you guys where he fucking loses his train of thought. He doesn't know how to answer. He fumbles. He, you know, reads the whole fucking thing that's on the teleprompter. Okay, so he's a fucking moron.
End of quote.
So exactly. So let me
play.
So he's asked, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, you're talking about how you read everything on the teleprompter. One of these days, I suspect that at the end you'll say "Made in China." Because it's written on the front.
Bro, so people, after that press conference, because he's going to play it. After that press conference, people chopped it up. I think it was Elo Donald Trumpo or one of the other meme guys on Twitter. They chopped up the video as he's talking, and like they show his pause, and they're like, "Don't put it on the prompter. You know he's gonna read everything on the prompter." And I'm busting up because it's so true.
Yeah.
But anyway, what this is, man.
You know, if this had been, we can say. You can take somebody out of context. You can grab a clip from an interview and make somebody look like somebody else, right? Like they believe something else. But let's grab this clip of Biden. When I say clip, I mean it's a fairly long enough clip to where you realize he's answering a question, but he doesn't answer the question. So
is he answering a question?
Bro, let me play this clip of Joe Biden. When he's challenged on one of those questions.
Well, it's got if it came out of World War II, it should have came out of World War II.
Sorry, that wasn't him.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
No, but that would have been much better. Let me play the real one.
Was that the wings?
Bing bong.
No, was that the wing one I sent you?
That was Beetlejuice.
Well, it's got if it came out of World War II, it should have came out of World War III.
What?
Well, that's exactly what Joe Biden sounds like.
All right, let me play this. Hold on, sorry.
Stuttered. No, he's a fucking demented old man.
We're gonna hear it here. Calm down.
All right, so it's 2 minutes of this, guys. Listen to this.
Well, that could school reopenings or closures become a potent midterm issue for Republicans
all right,
to
win? So before I let him answer this, because he's asking about the midterms, schools opening. Keep that question in mind, and I'm gonna play it again. And you, Jeremy, you're the most fair out of all of us because we hate the guy, we hate his guts, and you tend to be more, you're centered. So let me play this, and you tell me if we're being too harsh here.
Well, that could school reopenings or closures become a potent midterm issue for Republicans to win back the suburbs?
Oh, I think it could be, and I hope with God that they're that. Look,
right there. That pause.
Wait, hold on. He's not done. Let him continue. Okay, because again,
oh no, he's done. Yeah. Oh, he's done.
Remember the question, right? You guys remember the question? Okay, it's about
yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right, let me play it. Let me continue.
School closures in midterm elections.
Yeah,
in suburbs.
So let's go back to where he pauses. Oh God!
On the the motives of some of the political players and some of the
oh dear God,
and the political parties.
It's like a train wreck; you can't stop watching.
They are not going to be as susceptible.
This is our president, guys.
To believing some of the outlandish things that have been said and continue to be said. You know, every president, not necessarily in the first 12 months, but every president the first couple of years, of the last presidents, at least four of them, have had polling numbers that are 44% favorable. So it's this idea that, but you all, not you all, but now it is.
Oh my God. Biden.
One poll showed him at 33%. The average is 44-45%. One poll him at 49%. I mean, the idea that
Jesus.
Oh my God.
The American public are trying to sift their way through what's real and what's fake. And I don't think as I've never seen a time when.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
The shut political up, bitch. Coverage.
This guy's running the show, guys.
The choice of what.
Okay, so what did he answer? Does anybody know what he
didn't?
His answer was
a bunch of nonsense political talking points spewed out in an illogical order.
Yeah.
And the man is incompetent and needs to be pulled out on the 25th Amendment?
I'll tell you exactly what just happened right there.
25th.
You know what just happened right there?
He had a stroke.
No, you know what just happened right there?
second.
Hillary Clinton just became the Democratic nominee for 2024.
Oh God, I hope.
No, No, that's the guy.
Well, he's not running again. He's not going to make it three more years.
Not if they do the 25th Amendment, Tim. Not if, to Jeremy's point, it's Kamala.
No, Kamala. Yeah, Kamala. If they 25th them, Kamala will be the president, but then Hillary will be the 2024 nominee. They primary Kamala. Kamala's not popular.
She's going to have to resign. Kamala's going to have to resign.
She won't.
And they're going to have to put somebody else in there.
I'll tell you, if we take the House and the Senate with enough MAGA people, they're both done. They're both done. This is why they're trying to go Never mind. I don't want to get into that.
Okay, so wait. Let's bring it back.
Okay, so hold on. But in a nutshell, what Biden has to say is that he's got a 49% approval rating in a poll somewhere.
And I like Dunkin' Donuts.
And because of that, China. And Carpe.
Sundown. Sundown. You know that Pasoka was talking. He's like, you just watch the guy sundown in real time. This is why they were saying you should have put him in fucking at 2 o'clock, not 4 o'clock,
because
he's thinking about fucking dinner and movies.
I got it. We need to put a silver alert out for Air Force One.
Yes. It's true. So his cognitive decline is accelerating so rapidly, and it is, and nobody can deny.
We need to hold on. We need to get that out. Somebody put that out right now.
Oh, no, they have.
Silver alert. I just made that up.
Now,
silver alert. Air Force
to continue
One.
The question. Because, the reporter starts to ask the question, and he's just as bad. I mean, when he starts to ask his question, he's like stuttering and mumbling and trying to figure out how to make the question right to maybe get a cognitive answer out of Biden.
That's not real media.
The whole thing starts out as a joke from the fucking commentator, the reporter. Too.
I said crickets in the beginning of the show to introduce the show was because, see, he gives his answer and then the press is just fucking quiet and silent. Now, if I were to bring the press conferences that Trump had and you could watch how lively they were, how much they challenged him, how much they said, excuse me, Mr. President, you're not answering the question. Did they ever do that here? No, they treat him like with kid gloves. Now, this keeps going. A reporter asked them about his opinion on polls that show that a large portion of the American population think that his mental state is questionable. And look how he responds, okay? They're saying, Biden, your mental state is questionable. The polls are showing this. How do you respond? Oh, by the way, look at how he tiptoes this reporter asking the question, tiptoes around the question. This very same question was asked of Trump, by the way, and they didn't ask it in this manner, respectfully, with civility. They asked him, Mr. President, is your mental capacity, are you okay? That's how they asked it.
But with utmost respect for your life accomplishments and the high office you hold. A poll released this morning by Politico Morning Consult found 49% of registered voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. Wow. Not even a majority of Democrats who responded strongly affirmed that statement.
Well, I'll let you all make the judgment whether they're correct.
Well, the question I have for you, sir, if you'd let me finish, is why do you suppose such large segments of the American electorate have come to harbor such profound concerns about your cognitive fitness? Thank you.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I have no idea why you would think I was. What was the question?
Look, this guy.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said.
This was in the same.
Yeah.
He got angry. He got visibly angry. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Everything about this guy. I mean, the most popular president of all time.
Life.
81 million votes. Life. Did not vote for this guy.
No, bullshit.
They did not. You got to call a spade at this point. Right. And people went along with it and said, oh, all right, maybe because every 81 million people hated Trump. I don't think 81 million people hated Trump that bad to elect this fucking demented bat. OK, let's be real. And the light bulbs, like you saw the blank space and people were standing up for him saying It's his stuttering problem. People shouldn't make fun of him because he has a stutter. No, that's not stuttering. That's not stuttering. I stutter sometimes. You know what I mean? But on MSNBC, they actually, I forget the reporter, but they had a like one of those not think tapes, but like focus groups where they invited all these suburban white women, you know, these suburban moms. And they asked him a couple of questions. They said, tell us what you think about Joe Biden in total, you know, in one word, right? You know, they were like old, out of touch, sleepy. Somebody actually could say Sleepy Joe, right? And they're like, oh, that must have been a MAGA mom. And one of them, and then one of them actually just said the comment, they need to let him nap before he does this because he's got no motivation to get rid of him. No, but they
are they supposed to let him nap before he makes a decision whether or not he's supposed to launch nuclear weapons?
It's not that. The fact that they are now talking about these things on state-run media, MSNBC, on on the Communist News Network, okay, in the New York Times, in the New York. So all a political slate, they're all starting to turn on him slowly.
Yeah.
Right. They're even spinning the COVID shit now where, oh, COVID is just, we're going to have to learn to live with it. Like we've all been saying, and that masks don't work. And everybody, all these things are coming out now and there's no fact checking. There's no fact checking and people getting kicked off. And you're like, oh, okay, you fuckers. But they're all starting to turn. They're like, there's been more COVID deaths under Biden than Trump with vaccines and all this. Why is he so out of touch? Why is this happening? The Afghanistan debacle, that's what got them. They were able to cover up for him for so long, and then he fucked up Afghanistan, and it was in real time. When you got videos of those planes taking off and bodies falling off, that right there was like a big whack.
I find it interesting that you think he made that decision.
But
let's be real. He's just the puppet. But he didn't make those decisions. So, but no, let's call it like it is, because those who are listening need to also be out there understanding. Biden make Afghanistan's decision. It's the same people, like you said, they're opening it up for Clinton. Clinton was, you know, damn well she was part of that decision.
But the buck stops with your president.
I understand. But in the meantime, it's all the people behind the scenes that pulled Afghanistan off, and they're just using this freaking ignoramus. Yeah, you know,
Obama's shadow president.
Speaking of Afghanistan, it would have been nice to have all those tanks and airplanes and all that stuff when we have to go to war with the Ukraine and Russia. So,
or it would have been nice not to hand over our technology, our knowledge, our secrets over to somebody who can.
You're not recognizing the he, she, them, it's that are going to be serving in our military. They're going to win it because of feelings. They don't need machinery. Right. They're gonna feel their way into winning.
The Afghans don't need machinery because they can't afford to maintain it. But what they're doing is they're selling it to China.
Right. But now
all of our military, high-end military equipment is getting sold off to our worst enemy.
Within 6 months, Jeremy, within 6 months, right? Afghanistan was a free, quote unquote, democratic state and everything like this. You know, now every country and us included are pledging like $11, $12, $20 million each to fix the poverty now that happened and the humanitarian crisis. It's like, wait a minute. We caused that crisis by the way we left and handed everything over to the Taliban.
Just take our portion out of the stuff you're selling to China.
So now we're going to give the Taliban, right? $20 million each as a country. Like,
why?
What the fuck?
Why? Who's decided that this was a good idea?
Because it's a UN humanitarian crisis because everybody's fucking poor and hangry and fucking throwing fucking kids to the fucking sex slave trade now.
Okay.
6 months.
So again, you know, the decline of the president. So serious question, and to Jeremy's point earlier, serious question. When do we start considering the 25th Amendment as a nation, right? Because we got to convince the other side. What do we do? What do we do if the American president is senile, irrational, delusional, suffers memory loss, about to start a nuclear war, by the way? He is. If things don't change the way that this is headed, he's about to start a nuclear war. Folks, he's dangerous to the Republic. Now, what I just said was what I think, I don't know which one of the papers wrote about Trump. This is what they said about Trump when he was president. They asked these questions. So we eventually have to answer these questions about the Biden presidency. And the 25th Amendment, specifically Section 4th of the amendment, is the method by which to provide it, that provided the removal of such a president, which is Biden. Now, when did this come about? The 25th Amendment was created when JFK was assassinated. Okay. Now, the country looked at the situation and says, well, we need to establish some way, some method to remove a president that's been incapacitated and is not able to serve. And it's only been used a couple times in our history. Once, I believe once with Reagan and once with George Bush. Okay. Now,
when you say it was used,
yes.
Obviously those presidents weren't removed from office. It was attempted to be removed. Is that what you're saying?
They went through the process of relinquishing their authority. In other words, in the 25th Amendment, the president can temporarily relinquish some of that authority and leave somebody in charge. In the 25th Amendment, established that, you know, if we can say that about Biden, say Biden is unable to serve the rest of his term. He's not impeached. He's not removed, but he has to relinquish his authority and leave it to somebody else. So in the 25th Amendment was used during the Reagan administration when he was there was an assassination attempt and he was in the hospital for I don't know how long. And so, you know, he left the vice president, which at that time was George H.W. Bush. And then George W. Bush, I think he had some type of colonoscopy, I think. And then they had to, I think he had it twice. I think
Kamala, she was president for about a couple hours when Biden went to go get his asshole fucking Rotorua.
And that's all the 25th Amendment, right? So let's not think about the 25th Amendment as an impeachment. It's not an impeachment. Impeachment is very different because that requires the House and the Senate to vote and to remove him. And so the 25th Amendment allows for the president either to relinquish his authority or for it to be removed from him because of that. And there's no voting that's required. I don't know how it works. It's uncharted territory. The times that it's been used, it's when the president himself has relinquished that authority. It's never been imposed on the president. Yep.
So let me ask you this. How do we not know that this isn't already happened and that everybody that's running his, because if you look at all the players running this, they're all making the decisions and he's just reciting. His Twitter is ran by his administration. The shit that comes out of it, that is not even well written, coherent, and you can hear the argument. That's not him. It's not him.
And it's the same stuff that the White House releases.
Exactly. So it's all
on social media.
Everything that gets said is it's very manufactured, very scripted. You get Susan Rice is running this part. Blinken's running this. Buttigieg is running that.
But that goes back to what I just said to you guys about how the whole Afghanistan thing. Somebody did that for him. He didn't do that.
Right. But even with Trump doesn't make every decision. But again, who chose that cabinet? Biden, right?
Right.
So the president chose the buck stops with the CEO. If the CEO hires a really bad CFO, CIO, you got to say, hey, you got to get rid of that CEO because it starts with him.
Yeah.
Right. So the buck always stops with the president because his exact words, too. The buck stops with me. I don't put the blame on nobody. And it's so, all been a disaster.
I think a lot of the things that we're seeing offers credence to what what Heidi's saying, what we're saying here is that maybe it's already happened, because Biden right now, whenever he has certain things, go to YouTube, go to the White House YouTube. He's having meetings that are live streamed, but they're in some sets, some props.
Yeah, they made a Hollywood set. Yeah.
It's not the real White House. So this is strange. I don't think this is unprecedented. This has never happened. So something's happening behind the scenes that I think, and even himself, he has himself said this. Oh, they're not going to let me stick around. What do you mean they're not going to let you? You're the fucking president.
I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I keep talking.
You're right.
So I guess the question is if it really does get down to the point to where there are enough people on the Democratic side that says, we need to get rid of Joe Biden. Do you think that they would have to invoke the 25th, or would they just pressure him to resign?
I think they would pressure him to resign so that it doesn't become ugly again. It's uncharted territory.
Exactly. It's a lot. It's a face saving maneuver to to have him resign versus having to admit that you guys fucked up and have to kick him out.
But here's the deal. They can't do that right now because they already know right now there's 28 Democrats in the House that just announced their retirement. 28 prominent, not like, oh, it's the first time, like major hitters in Congress on the Democrat side have announced their retirement. So they know what's coming. If they turn around now and say, yeah, we got to get rid of Joe, he's got to step down, the Democratic Party is completely dumb because you just told everybody he was the most popular president than Barack Obama, more popular than Trump. This guy was going to unite the country and fix everything. And he just, you just called, you turned on him within a year.
They're not going to they're not going to have him step down. They to the point again, what we have been saying and what we're saying is he's already probably signed off his and said, you're going to, you're going to take care of this. You're going to take care of this. They can't lose his face. They can't lose his face to Tim's point. So he's already signed off. He's already said, you take care of this. You take care of this. That's why he can disappear for 80 days and then go, oh, shit, I need to get on here and mumble and stutter like an idiot. And that's why you have all the news medias and everybody else coming in and going, oh, come on now. Let's be understanding and let's not be bashing him. And we got to stay united and blah, blah, and the rest of their bullshit. It's already happened. Yeah. And to Tim's point, you're not going to see if you see anything, it will be an impeachment attempt because the tables will turn. If because
impeachment,
we're not there yet.
Impeachment won't happen until January 2023.
If
we take a sweeping overhaul of the House of America First candidates and we get enough seats on the Senate, because if Mitch McConnell stays leader of the House, if we flip it and he said they're never going to impeach him, he won't do it. He won't do it because it's such a bad precedent. You get a fucking America First person there, they'll fucking fully go through with the Senate, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
And we have to be prepared for the corruption of this next voting.
Yeah, Tim says it all the time. They are not going to go down quietly. They're going to, you know, go down swinging. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
Biden said it himself, what, last week or the week before, this week?
Who counts
the votes. Yeah. It's who counts the votes.
He let the cat out of the bag numerous times, and people aren't picking up on it yet. That actually is the most important thing he's saying about all this. And again, he lets the cat out of the bag. They tell him shit or he hears things and he repeats it when he shouldn't, because he's telling people what the true, how they've been doing it. If you count the vote,
which
you
is
can slide in and be like, oh,
side effect of dementia. The guy has no filter. He's fucking weird. Yeah. And he's saying shit that, like you said, he's saying the quiet part out loud. So, you know, he's creating division. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, Biden was supposed to unite us and, not happening, folks. In fact, the country is more divided. One of those people who has come out criticizing him, and you know, I always say Tulsi Gabbard should just come out as a Republican because she's been siding with Republicans, you know, over and over again. Here's one TikTok of her where she proves, confronts Joe Biden. Let me play this, and I think this one was muted. By TikTok. Let me see. Oh yeah, TikTok removed it. TikTok removed the video. Okay, so I made a backup of this. Hopefully I got this here. Hold on. Last time I saw. Okay, yeah.
You're learning, Saul. Yay. You're learning.
No, I did. I now I'm taking backup copies of everything because these are some of these are not they don't have that many views. So TikTok won't go and censor these, right? They're very very small views. So that's what I always go do. I take the ones that don't have views. But yeah, this is the same video that was on her TikTok. It got taken down. You saw, removed. Why is TikTok? And listen to what she says. You tell me what community guidelines were broken here by what she said.
Supported Joe Biden, and millions of other Americans voted for Joe Biden because he promised to unite us. He promised to bring us together, to end the divisiveness. Sadly, not only has he failed to do this, he has betrayed us all by pouring fuel on the fires of divisiveness that are tearing our country apart. Now, Biden compares those who disagree with him to racists, traitors, to enemies of bygone eras. And Biden now has his attorney general targeting millions of Americans as domestic terrorists.
We face an elevated threat from domestic violent extremists. That is individuals in the United States who seek to commit violent criminal acts in
assistant attorney general
domestic, social, or political goals. Domestic violent extremists are often motivated by a mix of ideologies and personal grievances.
We've like seen Antifa and BLM?
Oh, no, they're not in there.
By racial animus, as well as those who ascribe to extremist, anti-government, and anti-authority ideologies.
Antifa,
if we
BLM.
Allow this to continue, our country, the country that we love, the land of the free, the home of the brave, it'll be unrecognizable and it'll be lost forever.
Okay. Can anybody tell me what is the community guideline that was broken by the by that video?
She spoke out against the regime. I mean, plain and simple.
Chinese media. The point that I want to make here is that, like, to Tim's point, she stepped out of line. So the Democratic Party hasn't changed, folks, right? They don't want minorities to step out of line. Oh no, you can't stay. You can't have an opinion. They're fucking racist, folks, and no matter how woke they think that they are the same goddamn racist party that they've always been. But for a group of people or an ideology that believes that America's history is racist, therefore we must abolish everything, every history of America, everything that was good. Let's remove all the history of America and let's redo it all. Okay, well, let's start with the goddamn fucking Democratic Party. Oh, no, we got to keep that because that's the party. Really? No, so you're not about rebuilding. Let's make it a better country. Let's start with removing the Democratic Party. Oh, no, now you get removed. You can't have that opinion. That's hate speech.
So fuck out of here. To your point, right? I mean, the same people that say voting, voter ID is racist, are the same people that said no jab, no service. But when you have your jab, you get service, but you have to show proof of vaccination with your ID to go into that restaurant to get service. But to vote, ID is racist, but you're being forced to get this jab to go eat, and you have to show your ID and proof of that jab. And that's not racist. That is health, that is the science, and you know it's good for the community.
Tim, it all makes perfect sense, right, if you just step back and take a deep look at it.
And I think what's opening a lot of people's eyes again is they've used the race card too much, especially with this voting bill, right? How this is racist is Jim Crow 2.0. It's stopping minorities from voting. Minorities going, wait a minute. I voted in this last election. I've been voting for we've been voting this whole time.
Who believes that?
The ones that are on the tape, right? And that's what they all say. But everyone's going, it's making it harder for minorities. And they're using the minorities. Like, oh, only white people know how to go and vote. Like, okay. And that, like, it's almost like they're making it like, oh, they want to get rid of mail-in ballots. That's racist. Are you trying to say they don't know how to go to a polling station and look it up? Like Kamala Harris said, they can't go to Kinko's to print something out. You know what I mean? You're an idiot. And they've losing the narrative of this. And that's why they're trying to say it's Jim Crow 2.0. The filibuster's racist, even though they used it 300 times in 2020, you know, to stop Trump from moving forward with COVID stuff and all that. Okay. They even used it to stop Tim Bill's crime bill. Okay. But let's look at this and go, what is so racist about this? Why do you're saying that the Republicans are trying to, you know, kill elections and make it harder for minorities to vote and all this. But if you let us take it over, we'll make the right rules. So you're saying one party's bad, but we're better. Sorry, bitch. It ain't working no more. This isn't the same thing anymore. You have people that are fighting, people that are opening people's eyes. If COVID didn't happen, maybe if COVID didn't happen, or if at least the mandates didn't happen, people would have maybe been more inclined to say, yeah, it's racist. But when they go, wait a minute, you're saying they're racist, but every single one of the cities that I live in that are run by Democrats are all forcing me to get this jab and show proof of vaccination. If not, I'm excommunicated from everything. I lose my job. I lose this. Republicans aren't doing that. They're saying, we want freedom. You can make your choice, keep your job, go out to eat. If you want the vaccine, go get it. But this, I'd say, you have to do this. And people go, whoa, wait a minute. You're forcing me into shit that I don't want to do. And I have all these, I get called an anti-vaxxer, anti-fucking-masker, an anti-this, a Trumper. And they're like, I just want to make my own decision. I don't trust the government to begin with. Maybe I don't want to take this this new drug that just came out in a year. And you tell me it's perfectly safe. How do you know? There's no data on it. They're like, you're trying to tell people like, oh, this is the best thing. It's like the same people that said Coke was good or crack. Oh, yeah. Try this crack. It's perfect. It ain't going to do nothing. Now look what we got. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a science denier.
Didn't Japan come out with some study that showed that
Japan and England both have lifted all vaccine mandates?
Well, right. Yeah. They lifted their
Ireland too.
Because of mandates. But I'm asking about a study on the vaccine that they found that it was causing inflamed hearts in 20-year-old.
This myocarditis issue that's been going on for the last year that we've all been reporting about and getting fucking flagged on Twitter and censored and, you know, suspended. It's reality. They've been trying to suppress that information. It's even in Pfizer's documents that were released. The first 500 pages said in their trials, they were seeing myocarditis. Like, that was the main thing. And they had so many deaths. They were like, if it was one death from the vaccine, it should have never been authorized for emergency use. Okay?
Right.
It should have never made it past that.
And yet our government is still forcing, in a roundabout way, every American to get it.
Yeah, especially if you live in Democrat-ran cities. You know, D.C. is basically East Berlin now. You know, you have to show your papers everywhere. Can't go to museum. In your nation's capital, you have no freedom if you don't have a vaccine. In your nation's capital. Let that sink in. The land of freedom, the pursuit of happiness, and all that shit that, you know, that we all love to praise as fucking Americans and Republican or whatever, conservatives. You can't go to your capital and actually go see your history because you don't have a fucking vaccine.
Sounds about right, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's always been the left's method of working. That's what they do. They coerce, they force people. And I read a quote recently and I wrote it down and it said, imagine, if you will, a vaccine so safe, you have to be threatened, coerced, and forced to take it. For a disease so deadly, you have to get tested to know if you even have it. this is the world, the fucking crazy world we live in. Now, I think the moment we realize, and when I say we as a country, that the left has been lying to you, has been lying to us, the sooner we can start rebuilding and repairing the damage that has been done. Because remember, folks, to Tim's point, voter ID laws, according to the Democrats, are racist. But going to a Starbucks to get coffee, well, you can't go in unless you have your vaccine ID with you. And so there's nothing to see here, folks. You know, don't disagree with us because you're going to get banned. And there have been many people that are banned. Now, I have some videos here of police officers arresting children. Children who don't comply to illegal COVID mandates. This is happening in New York, and I'm pretty sure you guys have seen those videos, so I'm not going to play some of these, but I mean, take my word for it. And just Google it. Google this, and you're going to see police officers arresting children. And this is in New York. But there's, you know, good news that's happening. This week, a federal judge blocked Biden's vaccine mandates for, you know, federal workers, which is good. It stalls it. We'll see the final outcome of that. It's obviously they're going to challenge it. The, you know, what is it? The Justice Department? I don't know what side of government's going to challenge this.
Is it to that point, though? Is it too late? I mean, they've basically been enforcing that for months now, right? So everybody who isn't vaxxed has already lost their job. So even if the judge throws it to the curb, it's too late. Those people are already gone.
Sure.
Right?
But at least it sets precedent for the next thing, because you think COVID is the last part? No, it's not the last. So even if it goes all the way through and you know, whatever, people who got the jab this time got. But I think it does set precedents where, you know, people can look back and say, well, look at this case here. The government has no authority to impose something on the population for something that has a 99.9% survival rate.
Hopefully it also opens up for lawsuits. I mean, people need to start suing. I think the only way you're going to get is lawsuits. I don't know. I don't know how else you're going to get around it.
And it's starting. They're saying now, especially in the private sector, because once the Supreme Court sent that down, now companies are saying no jab, no job. Okay, if I lose my job over that, or if I got the jab and now I have an inflamed heart, like all the pilots are starting to get with pilots are starting to get grounded because they're having heart issues. And once you have that, you can't fly more. Yeah. Right. As you know. So a lot of people starting to sue, and corporate America is going, shit.
Yeah.
I'm not protected by the government no more.
This is it. Man.
My mandate is causing this. So now you're saying if you want to work for me, you need this. But when I go home, just like everything else we said about OSHA, you can't pull the vaccine out of you when you go home. So my job is forcing me. So now you are 100% accountable for making me do this to keep my job. So if something happens to me and I get sick, I'm going to sue the shit out of you. Or if I got fired over it, you're going to
be should.
But
they
even should. Even they if they have, even if they wanted to, they say, for example, a company wanted to say, well, we want, you know, whatever, not to spread. I don't know what the argument is anymore, because as I was going to say, the CDC is now admitting that natural immunity was 6 times stronger than the vaccine against the new variant.
But the CDC is putting that out. So why is
Delta the one that was the deadliest? Yeah.
So my point is that the people that they can point to and say, well, we're just following their natural immunity is stronger. What do you stand on? What leg do you stand on? You don't have no leg to stand on. And so to Heidi's point, lawsuits are coming. And they need to.
Good.
They need to. Class action. Every single employee, especially huge companies right now, they're pumping the brakes. They're like, oh shit, I don't even want to get involved in this, because can you imagine just 10% of your workforce coming after you? Imagining settling out of court for that? You think they want to draw it out?
So hold on. Yeah, but no, there's another whole part of this. There's a way to get this. It was going to lead back to getting to the government too, because I'm going to go and I'm going to sue my employer for forcing me to get this shot, and I've got now health issues because of it. Okay. That's a work comp claim. What's work comp mandated by the state? What's the state's mandates for work comp mandated by the federal. So it all goes back to reinforcing that the government cannot do this. I have somebody that works for me who the health insurance company told them that if they did not have their vaccines done by the 1st of January, their health premiums and their health insurance would be impacted.
Are you serious?
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
That's why.
Blue Cross, Arizona Blue Cross Blue Shield, through the company, came back and said, if you are not vaccinated, your premiums are going to be higher.
That's crazy, because I have this. I have Arizona Blue Cross.
It could be done with the company. It could have been something with, because each company has a different, like we have United Healthcare and it's got a special group for the company that we get it through. So it could also have been, I think it's Bank of America maybe that is carrying this part, but it was supposed to be like $500 or $600 a person more. Like if they were really hitting their pocketbooks and going, holy shit, we can barely afford our medical premiums now. And now you're going to charge us even more because they went and they did it. They went and got the first shot, the two shots. And I said, well, what happens when they want you to do the booster? Well, that hasn't come out yet.
Oh, no, that actually did. Walensky came out and said that, you know, we're not going to say having a booster makes you vaccinated. We're pivoting to, are you up to date on your shots?
Right.
Basically, I think it's 3 months after your second shot.
I think it's when
you need to be to get your booster.
We canceled our cruise because Carnival put out that you have to be fully vaccinated for one. For two, they have the new rule where you cannot eat or drink without your mask on.
Yeah.
So you wear it. They allow you to bring it down long enough to get your food or your drink in your mouth, and you have to pull it back up. And they're like, these are the rules from where they offered a full refund, even the deposit that you're supposed to lose if you cancel. If you don't, like, we don't know what's going to happen with all of this COVID stuff. And so this is, hello, CDC's already come out to tell you freaking morons that your damn vaccine isn't as good as me that has now had COVID.
I'm going to tell you right now what's going to change the rule. And we're seeing it now, right? Starbucks actually said, we're done with the mandates. No more mandates. You go do live your life. You're seeing it all over Europe, Czech Republic, England, Ireland. They're dropping their stuff.
Kingdoms.
Germany Japan. And Austria are still going full blown.
Japan's a big one, man.
But here's the deal. Something that people aren't paying attention to, again, because we're so worried about everything else. Look at the stock market right now. We are in a bear market almost. Okay. There's a correction, but we're almost at bear market territory. All these companies that now, like the carnivals and this, having to give all this back, business is down. Let's just be real. Yeah. Business is down. The jobs numbers in December were shit. The sales numbers for Christmas were shit. Jim Cramer's been lying. Best economy. No, he's been fucking gaslighting the American fucking public that fucking listens to CNBC, state-run media. Again, the numbers don't lie. If you want to fix this economy and fix this world, all this mandate shit about vaccines and masks and this, people are done with it. Once that goes away, the economy will start improving because people will go back out. I don't want to fly anywhere. I don't want to wear a mask. I'm supposed to go to Vegas, but I don't want to go to Vegas. I don't want to wear a mask everywhere. Or I have to think about it. I want to go live my fucking life. We know what this is. All of us, even on Bill Maher, liberals, progressive liberals are starting to come out. And she was a New York Times reporter last night, Blair Weiss or something like that. Very prominent progressive, hates Trump, but she's like, I'm done with COVID. I'm done with it. I'm done with the mandates. I'm done with all this. So people are getting to the point where I want to go live my fucking life. I'm done with this overreach of government. It does not work. This is not who we are. The kids are suffering. You know, you see all the memes. You got celebrities with no masks on, fucking basketball players with no mask on. But here's your fucking children like this with a fucking mask on, 6 feet apart from each other, walking in the hallways of school.
I saw a video.
But that's the generation. That's the generation they have to. They have to mold that generation.
Of these people, these guys, I think they're Middle Eastern. I don't know what they are, but they're going to. And the only reason I bring up the race is because for the left, race is important. Okay. This is the only reason I bring it up. I could care less. But what they're doing is they're going to these school district, their offices, you know, these schools that are imposing mask mandates and kicking students out of school because they're not wearing their mask or they don't have their vaccine. And these guys are going to, you know, these offices where these people who make the rules that your kid has to have a mask in order to be in the classroom, and they're recording them. There's TikTok videos of this. They're recording these offices, every single goddamn employee in their fucking cubicles, wearing no masks, not social distancing, and he's screaming at them. And he says, these are the goddamn people who are forcing you to force your kid to put on this bullshit. They're not doing it themselves. This is not about health. It has never been about health. This is about control. This is about how do we get the outcome that we want? How do we create enough hysteria and enough panic? And the people, the hypochondriacs of the world, have found meaning. I always say this all the time. They have found purpose in their life. And they're out there, folks. The people who, I need all this. Fucking insanity. Those are the people who are making rules now. And I'm going to play the video that Tim referenced, the Bill Maher video. And that shows prominent leftists who wrote articles in support of the mandates, who are now realizing after looking at the numbers, the suicide rate numbers, folks.
Which we talked about.
I'm going to say this over again because I remember, you know, I came out here to Pennsylvania right before the whole fucking world went crazy. And never in my mind have I ever had a crazy, ugly thought ever. I have never thought of an idea like, oh, why live? Or I have no purpose. I have no, you know, like I've never had those thoughts in my mind. 40 years of living. And that summer, that whole, you know, when that whole thing happened, I was losing my goddamn mind. I'm like having ugly thoughts. And I'm like, this is not normal. And I have a good job. I have a place. I have food. I'm good. I'm good. I'm blessed. Thank God. And having these thoughts, I can't imagine somebody with a family, you know, who's barely making ends meet, that's being forced to now stay home and not work and being locked up for their own good, for their health. It was a fucking lie, folks. And so this is important to say. People are starting to realize it. And Tim sends me this, and I was like, I messaged him back, and I'm like, I wonder if the social media is going to ban this. Oh, you've broken. Are they going to go after these folks? Are they going to go after Bill Maher? I hope they do. I hope they censor that video. I hope they delete that video so that then you have more people who are on our side who are militant and be like, fuck this shit. Because they overplayed their hand, folks. They did. The left thought they were going to be able to accomplish something here. They thought they were going to be able to bring on the next communist regime, and they failed. When you have prominent leftists done with the vaccine. Let me play this video.
So before you hit play,
yeah,
real quick, because I know we got to get moving. People forget the reason why the Democrats forever haven't been able to get away with this. They've controlled everything. They controlled the media. They controlled they've controlled everything we've seen, written, heard, whatever. But ever since the invention of this little thing that we have in our hands called the camera phone, mm-hmm. a smartphone that has a camera, we can record whenever, wherever, and instantaneously mm-hmm. upload it, have it go viral, right? All these fucking people for mask mandates and everything, like in New York City, I mean, in the state of New York, mask mandates, very draconian, right? One of the prominent New York state senators, Kirsten Gillibrand, she literally walked into a fucking restaurant, maskless, walked right past it all and said, I'm not wearing a fucking mask. Rules don't apply to me. And then had to issue an apology after, but the rules for the elite, the rules are not for the elite. It's for us. So people keep getting caught. So this is why these videos that we're about to see right now are very important, because the elite, the under elite, the people that thought they were elite, they're really not. These are the sub elites, the journalists and all this. They're part of that sub elite culture that control all this. So now they're speaking out. So this is beautiful.
Let me play this.
I'm done.
With this question?
No, I'm done with COVID. Oh, I'm done. It's yeah. like I went so hard on COVID.
I remember.
Sprayed the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. Like, I did it all. I watched Tiger King. I got to the end of Spotify. Like, we all did it, right?
And No, we didn't all
okay,
do it.
Well, here's the thing.
A lot of us did do it.
And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. And it's ridiculous at this point. I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. The city of Flint, Michigan, which is 80%, I think, minority students, has just announced indefinite virtual schooling. In the past 2 years, we've seen among young girls a 51% increase in self-harm. People are killing themselves. They are anxious. They are depressed. They are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's a pandemic. It's like at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's not. Yeah. It's not real anymore.
Okay, so this is great because, folks, a year and a half ago, this was conspiracy theory. A year and a half ago, to even question that this was a pandemic, to even say a pandemic of bureaucracy, you would have been banned. This person would have been, Bill Maher would have been banned. So this is why I say the pandemic, the plandemic is dead. It is done. When you have these many leftists, and we hear it everywhere, folks. I mean, I the people that I talk to, I haven't run into anybody that says, oh yeah, we need to continue this mandate. None. It's over.
Yeah. Who is this lady?
She's a writer for the New York Times.
All right, just a writer. Okay. And the guy next, is that Don Lemon next to her?
I don't think so.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Barbara Weiss.
Barry Weiss. So what's interesting about this, I mean, she makes another good point that a lot of her progressive communist friends feel the same way,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to say it because they don't want to be called out.
Right.
No, the only way you win at this point, you have to get loud. And again, I've said this for a long time. I said, they fear the populace on the conservative side and the progressive side, because progressives have some populism. They just want the government to be in control of it. But if you want to unite the country, it's going to be this. And this is what they're afraid of. If they all start speaking out against the regime, they lost the country. They lost it all, because it's the bureaucracy. It's the Washington, D.C. Bureaucrats that are making these rules for us, saying it's for us. But meanwhile, they're not living by it. So everybody's done.
They never have. See,
they never have.
I think to your point is that the device that we all hold in our hands that we're addicted to, like Heidi right now, she can't leave it. Obsessed. Just kidding.
It's a vibrator.
It's a double-edged sword, right? Obviously, we get consumed by it. But at the same time, this is what's serving the purpose here, where it's kind of shedding light into the hypocrisy of government. And the reason I say that is because this week, and in my opinion, this video summarizes government very nicely, which they create laws that they don't live by. Okay? Now, the video I'm going to show you for the listener, this video is the chairwoman of the Transportation Committee trying to park her car, folks. Okay? She's chairwoman of Transportation Committee. Watch this. This is her trying to park, folks.
And she has hit that red car next to her repeatedly.
And we're taking pictures.
And we don't think they're going to do anything about it. And if she parks like that, she should not be a member of Congress anymore. Is she going to park like that?
It looks like it. Yep.
So this is a chairman of the Transportation Committee. Is that like a state agency?
There's a federal committees.
Yes.
Chairman of Transportation.
Look at this woman is ancient.
Look how old she is.
Okay, so I'm not trying to make fun of old people. This is not what this is about.
No, you can. It's okay. They need to be made fun of.
Well, no, this is about the hypocrisy. This is about the ineptitude of government. It'd be funny if it wasn't sad and if it wasn't angering. This angers me. Because again, this is not a joke.
She earned the right to do this. Come on now. Come on. I mean, she's folks, allowed. It's permitted. I mean, she's, for the listener, she's earned it. She's entitled.
This like, is why we're in this position, because we come up with that idea.
First of all, why are you driving? Now, here is one thing. If she was concerned about her image or you know, hey, I'm the chairwoman of a transportation committee. You know what? This would look bad if I just left my car parked here. You know what? Let me give my keys to this young gentleman here to park my car so that it doesn't look like what the fuck kind of parking is that? Okay. No, they don't care. They don't care. And that is what's angering. And that is what government is that sure. You know, you can make your mistakes. I'm not asking for anybody to be perfect, but it's the fact that they do it, you know, with no regard to the law. Because if that would have been somebody else's car, you get a ticket, you get your car towed, but not the chairwoman of a transportation committee.
Well,
oh, no.
And to that point, right, if she's parking that poorly, that calls into question her actual abilities to drive to begin with.
Yeah.
Maybe she shouldn't be driving. Maybe she should have a driver. Maybe she should be sitting in the back of a black Lincoln and not be driving around in a silver SUV, smashing into the cars next to you.
And not be the chairwoman of the Committee of Transportation if you can't drive.
I have no idea what the Committee on Transportation does. And that's she may be the perfect chairperson for that job. I don't know. But
obviously not.
Just because she can't drive.
She should go to jail. You know why? That's a hit and run. She hit that car and she ran. She walked away. She didn't. They didn't do nothing.
You know what the sad part about it is? Is that car in the park next to her is probably some other congressperson's car, which is parked wrong to begin with. Look at, he's on the line. His back end is on the line as well. Like, so nobody there knows how to fucking park.
You guys, this is the whole administration. Hello. If you're not incompetent, degenerate.
No, this is politicians in general.
No. This is,
Remember AOC's car? She was parked illegally.
Exactly. It's this. Look, again, if you're not old or and decrepit and.
I know.
You're allowed. This is allowed.
Run our lives. This is what's fucked up.
Exactly. These are people who make the rules and we should be angry about this. Now, I have one more video again to show the ineptitude of government. Oh my God. All right. So this video is an Australian politician hired an Aboriginal translator. Okay. To relay the message to the Aboriginalist, wherever the term is,
man.
In Australia about the importance of COVID mandates and vaccines, Aborigines, vaccine mandates. So here we go. Let me play this one again. A translator, and I say that in quotation marks.
This is an important message to keep Aboriginal people safe.
And the end message. A proper important one to keep everybody safe one.
You can die from the corona or get really sick.
You will again pass away from this corona or you will again get really sick one.
It's time to get the corona needle to keep people and country strong.
Again, it's time to get them this needle. To keep them, but all the people and country proper strong one.
The corona needle will protect kids, old people, men and women.
Well, the young corona needle gotta keep them mel a safe one for all the little kids and for all the men.
Why do they call it a needle?
Many people around the world have already had the needle.
I speak Aborigine.
Big mob people all around the world been already getting but their needle.
It is free and it's safe.
It and lies.
That needle black corona, a free one and a safe one.
If you're worried, talk to your clinic or medical center
God.
Or go to Roll Up for WA on the internet.
Even a worrying but talk like yours one clinic or go like a hospital place or go to.
Yeah. Again, that's a translator.
My gosh, you guys. Biden. He's an Aborigine. He's a freaking Australian. Oh my gosh, you guys. You totally. Did you not just. Yeah, exactly. Come on. Not just hear Biden? I just heard Biden speaking right there.
Well, if it came out of World War II, it should have came out World War III.
What?
What? I like that idea. What?
Bing bong.
That is, if that's not government ineptitude, I don't know what is.
Well, Australia is fucked, man. I mean, this is what happens when you truly give up your guns and let government say, you know what? We're here to protect you. That right there. That's not protection. And he's like, oh, yeah, just get the needle. What?
Yeah, why are they calling it?
I'm going to start calling it the needle.
Yeah.
Hey, don't be talking about Jeremy's hoo-ha like that.
I'm going to talk about the needle.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeremy, get over here and give me your needle.
Isn't Arya Stark's sword named Needle?
Yeah. It kills you.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, ironically, as we're talking about this, and, you know, we're talking about censorship and things that, you know, from the beginning, after 2 weeks, slow the spread, which we said was a bad idea to begin with. Remember those two doctors from Bakersfield, California, that went out there and said, hey, we looked at the data so far. I actually still have that video on my OneDrive, and I watched it the other day. I'm like, wow, these guys were killed. I mean, they were killed online. They were censored. I think they were trying to take their medical license away, everything. They were right the entire time.
Yep.
And that was February, like April May of 2020, where they said, guys, you know, do this, do that. We have hydroxychloroquine, you know, like they talked about even the way the spread was and man, did they get ridiculed. Mm-hmm. And I watched it the other day and I was like, holy cow. I'm like, here it is 2 years later. And we're still having to listen about the spread and lockdowns. I'm like, we're going backwards in a lot of ways, but they realize they can't anymore because, you know, they can't keep printing money because it's not sustainable.
It's dead.
It is interesting. Yeah, it's interesting that two years ago, these guys had it. And
We're going to close this out. I actually, before we close it out, I did want to read this from C.S. Lewis. It's a really good quote. I saw it, somebody posted it the other day and I was like, oh my God, this is so true. And he's talking about the, you know, during that time, people were scared about the atomic bomb was new and people were gloom and doom, the end of the world. We're going to destroy ourselves and why live? And he wrote something that I think applies to today and people's reaction, people's panic to the pandemic. And it's a great response to, you know, just panicking for the sake of panicking. Okay. So I'm going to read this and it's
hysteria.
And we're going to close it out. All right. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in the Viking Age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors. Anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies. A microbe can do that. But they need not dominate our minds. I love that quote. And it's true. For the last 2 years, we have dedicated our show to this hysteria of the COVID bullshit. But you know,
everybody has
called it bullshit all along, and it has been. We've been consumed by it. But the best way to live is to not be obsessed with it. Live your life, folks. That's why this pandemic, it's over. All right, we're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. We will catch you all next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.